Okay, Rabbi, so we left off on Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara told us, Amar of Yehuda, three lines from the bottom. Hani Shushi Vishvarti Mesachin Behu. What is this? This is a type of wormwood, or type of wood that smells. Abai Amar Beshushi Mesachin Behu. Beshvarti Lo Mesachin. You can be Mesachik with Shushi, but Shvarti is a problem. The reason why you can be Mesachik with them is because they're not Mekabel Tuma. The first case, the Shushi, produces a fruit, but it's not Roy L'Achilas Adam. So if it produces a fruit, it should have been Mekabel Tuma. All Oichel is Mekabel Tuma. However, since it's not Roy L'Achilas Adam, it's not Mekabel Tumah, it's considered to be like regular twigs. Twigs are not Mekabel Tumah. If it would have been apples or cherries, it would have been Mekabel Tumah. It would not have been to be Mesafik with it. However, the Shushi are not Roy L'Achil HaSadam, therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. But the Shvarti is a problem to be Mesafik with it, my time. Kevin Desari Rechaihu Shavik Lahu V'Nofik. Since it smells bad, he's going to leave the Sukkah. Amar Rav Chanan, or we're afraid he's going to leave the Sukkah. Amar Chanan Barova, Hani Hizmi Behigi Mesachin Behu. Abai Amar Behizmi Mesachin Behigi Lo Mesachin. So Abai says he can be Mesachik with the Hizi. Again, that was a type of the Hizmi, because that was a type of item that's not Mekabel Tumah. So he can be Mesachik with it. But the Higi, he can't be Mesachik with it. My time came in the Natri Tarfayu Shoviklo. Benofik, since it has little pine needles, they're going to fall into your soup, you're going to leave the sukkah. So we learned two halachas from here at the beginning of the sukkah. The first is that you can be mesachik with anything that's not mekabel tumah, as we mentioned, as long as it grows from the ground. But if it smells foul, or there's pine needles, they're going to fall into your soup, so then you can't use it as schach, because we're afraid this is going to happen, and you're going to leave the sukkah. Does that mean the sukkah is psula? So if you look in the Rambam, over here, Ois Aleph, Perkei Hukzuch Halakha Beis, Avam Omer V'sichich B'dover HaNoivu V'noisher, B'dover Sharecha Rak Shera. If you are Mesachik with one of these items that smells bad or that sheds, the sukkah is kosher. Shalom Omeru Ein Mesachim Be'u Akadei Shul Yaniach HaSukkah B'yeitze. The Chazal said, don't use these as chach, because we're afraid people are going to leave the sukkah. You want to make your sukkah as inviting as possible. But if you did use them as chach, the sukkah would be kosher. And that's how we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Ritva disagrees. Over here, Ois Beis. Rise the Ritva, Amar Yehuda, Hani Shushi, Ad Kevin Desani Rechaihu Shavaklu V'Nofik. These items that smell bad, you shouldn't use them as chach, people are going to leave. Perish Upsulin Midrabanan. Says the Ritva that the sukkah is puzzle. We came in the Mehai Taima Hu Yesh Livso Afilat Fanas. 1 minute, if the reason why you can't use these items, let's say the first one is as chach, is because it's an unpleasant aroma. So even if it's on the walls, you shouldn't use it. There's nothing to do with schach. You shouldn't have a foul aroma in the sukkah. Get out with the Febreze. You know, the sukkah should smell nice. The Bahanami Shavak Luvinovic. If it's on the walls, you're also going to leave. Aval Behigi, but the Higi, which is the thing that sheds, the pine needles, that's all in the schach, because you're afraid it's going to fall into your food. If your walls shed, what difference does that make? It doesn't bother me. Because otherwise it's going to fall on your head and on your table. But if it's the walls that are shedding, it doesn't matter to anybody, only if the schach is shedding. So the Ritva held that the sukkah is puzzle if you use these items. And he adds an important, compelling point, which is that it shouldn't matter with the one that has the foul aroma, whether using it as schach or using it for the walls. Either way, it should be a problem. You have a bad aroma in the sukkah, people are going to leave. So we don't accept the Ritva that he passed the sukkah b'di'eved. We pass like the Rambam that the sukkah is only you shouldn't use these items as schach l'chachila. If you did though, the sukkah would be kosher, whether it sheds or whether it has a foul aroma. But the Rama does accept the psak of the Ritva that not only should you not use l'chachila the thing that has a foul aroma for the schach, you shouldn't use it for the walls either. That part of the Ritva we do accept. However, we have a problem with both opinions. Whether we're dealing with the psul derabanan, the sukkah is possible for you, something that smells bad or it sheds, or whether we're just saying you shouldn't use it, there's a Gemara that seems to contradict this. The Gemara tells us on Chavav Mir Aleph. 60% of the way down the Amud. The first word on the line is Basuka. So right in the middle of that line, after a little Zion from the Maseres Hashat, or Zion from the something. So the Gemara quotes a statement from Rava. Rava, Shari Le the Rav Acha Bar Ada Le Magna Bar Mitalalasa. Mimitalalasa. Rava let Rav Acha Bar Ada sleep outside of the sukkah. Why? Mishum Sircha de Gargishta. Because the floor smelled. Rava le Taime, Dama Rava Mitzta'er, Patim in a sukkah. If one is Mitzta'er, then he's putter from the sukkah. Why are you putter from the sukkah if you're mitzta'er? It's too hot, it's too cold, there's bees. Why are you putter if you're mitzta'er? Anybody know why you putter if you're mitzta'er? Teishvu, because the Bible says the sukkah is teishvu, shivas yamim, teishvu, kein tadru. Simple. So mitzta'er is putter in a sukkah. So why did Rav let Rav Acha bar Ada sleep outside of the sukkah? Because the floor smelled. So we have a problem both for the Rambam and for the Ritva. What's the problem? The problem is, according to the Rambam, what's the story with the sukkah that smells? Is the sukkah kosher or is the sukkah posel? The Rambam held, if the srach smells bad aroma, so the sukkah is kosher. How could the sukkah be kosher if nobody can stay there? If it's tire, put them in a sukkah. What kind of sukkah is it if everybody who stays there is exempt because it's impossible to stay there? It's so, you're so mitzta'er. And according to the Ritva, it's also a problem. Because why did the Ritva say a sukkah that smells is a problem? Because Chazal made a gzera to pasul it. Why? We're afraid you're going to leave. However, what does the Gemara say over here? Why is a sukkah that smells a problem? Because this individual is mitzta'er. So he can leave. Why does the Gemara phrase it like that? The Gemara should have said the whole sukkah is pasul. Chazal pasul the sukkah that smells. Like they pasul tzchach, that sheds. So both for the Ritva as well as for the Rambam, we have a problem. The Rambam held the sukkah that smells is kosher. Here the sukkah, Rav is letting him leave because it smells. Sounds like it's, how could have a sukkah that's kosher that nobody can sit in? And moreover, according to Ritva, it's a problem. Because Ritva held every sukkah that smells is independently possible. Here the Gemara says it's only because mitzta'er, because Rav Acha bar Ada was uncomfortable in the sukkah. What do you mean the sukkah is possible? Not because you're uncomfortable, but because the sukkah is possible. So the Ran deals with the Ritva's opinion. His opinion also is that the sukkah is possible, just like the Ritva, if it smells. But he says that Gemara is different. That Gemara didn't smell bad for everybody. You know, some aromas bother some people, they don't bother. Yeah, different, we'll go through the whole graphic, you know, list of different smells, but yeah, smoke sometimes bothers people. Other people, you know, like the smell of burning rubber. Some people don't mind it, some people do care. Some people love the smell of, barbecue, some people hate it. It's, okay. Depends on the person. So says the Ran, our Gemara, that if you give him an alpha, is discussing an aroma that bothers everybody. Ah, sukkah's puzzle. People are going to leave. The Gemara Daf Ravav is talking about that it bothered Rav Acha bar Ada. Oh, so Rav told the Wolk, if it bothers you, it bothers you. Even if it doesn't bother the rest of us, if it bothers you, it bothers you. He didn't like the evergreen smell. So Karka Levana Shehayu Toichen Ba Hen Karkoi Sasukah. This material that they used for the ground of the sukkah, Veloishia Recha Mosukhol, it wasn't detestable to everybody. Diachim Ifsula Sukkah. If that would be the case, the whole sukkah would be possible, like we learned over here. Hanishuti Vishvarti Emisachim Bahu. The cave and the sunny rechayu vishavaklu. People are going to leave the sukkah of an offic. Elahachim Mistar Ihu Lachude Askinon. It only bothered him. He had a heightened sensitivity to the smell. Okay. Fine. So that helps for the Ritva. What about for the Rambam? Which is the way we pass. The Ritva held over here. It's puzzled. There it's not necessarily puzzled. It's only because he was sensitive, hypersensitive. Fine. But according to the Rambam held a sukkah that smells is kosher. How then could you have a sukkah that smells that's kosher if everybody's going to leave? So again, the Rambam distinguishes in a similar way to the Ran, and this is found in the Mishnah Berurah. This answer is already given by the Prima Gadim. That again, we're talking about how bad does it smell? Even the Rambam will agree if it smells so bad that the sukkah is pasul. Again, the Rambam distinguishes just the opposite from the Ran. The Ran of the Ritva said, our Gemara, the Sukkah smells worse than the Gemara on Sukkah on Chavavim et Aleph. The Rambam would say, our Sukkah doesn't smell so bad over here, you give them et Aleph, the wormwood. The Sukkah on Chavavim et Aleph, oh, that stinks. Everybody's got to leave. So either way, everyone seems to accept the same distinction, that if it's something that everybody would be sensitive to, so then the Sukkah is possible, mitzvah potem in a Sukkah. But if it doesn't smell that bad, then the Rambam would hold the Sukkah, and not everybody's going to leave, then the Rambam would hold the Sukkah as kosher, and it was just, you shouldn't use these items for schacha l'chachila, but b'di'evit, if you did do it, the Sukkah would be kosher. Let's go on in the Gemara, though. The Gemara continues. Okay, so we got the idea of the Sukkah that smells, or the Sukkah that sheds. Then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Gido, Amar Rav. The discussion here is predicated upon the discussion of your Beis Medalef. For Rabbi, if look back to your Beis Medalef, let's just refresh our memory as to what we're discussing. Mishnah told us your Beis Medalef. Following, a Mishnah. Chavilei kash v'chavilei eitzim v'chavilei zardim. That's bundles of straw, bundles of twigs, bundles of wood. You're not allowed to use them for schach, even though these things grow from the ground. And they're not makabel tumah. Why can't you use these bundles for schach? Sounds like ideal schach. Why can't you use it? So Gemara explains. Over here, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, 6 or 7 lines down in the Gemara, it's because of Gzeiras Ha'oitzer. What is the Gzeiras Ha'oitzer? The Gzeira of the storehouse. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Ma Amru Chavilei Kash V'Chavilei Eizim V'Chavilei Zard V'Nei Misachem Behen. Why can't you use them? And you base them at Aleph. Pamim Shadim Bamin Asada Be'erev. A person's going to come from the field at night. V'Chavilasa Akseifai. He's going to have a bundle on his shoulder. Umale Menichoy Agabi Sukasa. He's going to take it, put it on top of his sukkah. Kedei Liyabsha. He's going to put it there to dry. Is that for sale, for shade? No. Is that kosher for schach then? No. But he says, you know what? His wife tells him, look, you have it already on top of the sukkah. What are you kvetching about building the sukkah tomorrow? And you already have it on top of the sukkah. Use it. He says, you know what, honey? You're right. I'll use it for the schach. He says, now we have a sukkah. Kids, come out. Let's decorate. But you can't do that. You have to make it valid for sukkah, for the schach, l'shem tzeil. It can't be that it became valid by itself, passively. And here it became valid passively. You put it up shaloi l'shem tzeil, and then you decide to use it l'shem tzeil. So therefore, because we're afraid of that situation, the sukkah will be pasul midoraisa. Because the pasul is chagah, sukkah is tasa l'cha tasa v'lom anasoi. You have to be the one to make a kosher. You can't just decide later, oh, it wasn't for sale, now it will be for sale. The sukkah's kosher, the puzzle. But because of that concern, Chazal were goyzer, what's known as gzeiras ha'oitzer. You cannot be mesachek with any bundle of anything. Because we're afraid of a person who's going to put it up there to dry and then switch his mind and use it for his schach. In which case it will be puzzle because of tassel omen arsub. So because we're afraid of that, Chazal said you cannot use bundles ever. Bundles of straw, bundles of twigs, bundles of wood. You can't use bundles. That's what's known as Xeris Ha'itza. The Mishnah there says, V'kulon she'tiron sheros. Once you undo the bundle, then it's kosher. I would have said, if you undo it before you put it up. Once you put it up, it's already puzzle because of Xeris Ha'itza. What is undoing the bundle help? If you remember, we paskin, if you use something that's attached to the ground, the schach, then you cut it off, we say, kitzisasan labzu hi asiyosan. That's not considered to be making the schach. That's possible because of tasmam and also. You have to pick up the schach. You have to be menanea it. So too, over here, I would have said, if you undid the bundle, that's no good, unless you picked it up. It's like kitzisasan labzu hi asiyosan. Why should hatarasan, undoing the bundle, be asiyosan? That's what I would have said. And some Rishonim actually say like that. However, that's not the way the Torah quotes. The Torah says, even after you put the bundle up, if you undo it, it's kosher. Why? Says the Torah over here. Because here we're not dealing with a psul deraisa. We're not dealing with a guy who actually put it up to dry. You put it up for schach. You put it up for schach. Just it's a bundle. Chazal said you shouldn't use bundles because we're afraid you might put it up to dry and then switch your mind later for schach. So since we're only dealing with a psul de rabbanan, once you undid it, the psul doesn't apply. V'msikach v'chavila v'hetirak sheira. Says the Torah. Kevin she'ein isura el mishum gzeira k'deperishis. The whole Easter is because of the gzeira. So once you undid it, you're no longer bound by the gzeira. You don't have a bundle anymore. Not a problem. What about a chavila though? What if you actually did do this? You're the guy. You're that guy who put it up there to dry, and now you want to switch it for schach. About chavila shehele leyabesh v'nimach alei lesikuch shepsu minatayra kasevari mikar kishina she'en any teres behatara. That's not good enough. Just undoing the bundle. If you actually put it there to dry, you got to pick it up now. Nua, like a person who cut off the schach from the ground. That just by cutting it off, that's not considered you made the schach. And the pasuk says you have to make the sukkah. Can't become kosher passively. So, and this undoing the bundle is not considered to be making the sukkah. So if you actually put it up there to dry, you can't just undo the bundle and make it kosher. Elot tzarech nanua. You have to pick it up. Then the Torah quotes another opinion. Yesh oimim av zois niteres ba'atara. Even by undoing the bundle, even if you put it up there to dry, which is pasul min d'oraisa, and then switch it for schach, for tzel, undoing the bundle is the equivalent of nanua. See, if you cut off something from the ground, you didn't really do that much. Here you undid the bundle and you spread the whole thing out. That's a bigger action. So that's considered to be tasa. That's sukkos tasa l'cha. You could hear that. But then the Torah rejects it. He says, "Mistabish etzichan nanua." That's how we pass it on the Shulchan Aruch. That in order for the sukkah to be kosher, what do you have to do? You have to pick it up. Okay, so we have, based on the Gemara over here in Yibayz Meraf, we learned about the Gzeiras Ha'oitzer. What is the Gzeiras Ha'oitzer? Again, you cannot use bundles of anything for schach. Even if the materials are schach kosher, grew from the ground, not makabel tumah, if it's bundled, you can't use it for schach. Why? Because we're afraid you're going to put it up there to dry, and then switch your what you have in mind, and now it's letzel, and that's no good because of tassel and asoy, unless you did the bundle and then picked it up. Fine. So anything that's bundled, schach, kosher, that's bundled, is no good. Got it? Known as zeris ha'itza. What's called a bundle? Very big question. What's called a bundle? So the Gemara over here in Yudgimel Med Aleph draws a parallel. If you look at the 15 lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Chisda, Ige Bechad Loi Shmei Eged. First word in the line is Ba'agma, right on top of the circle from Rav Kiva Eger. Am Rav Chisda, Ige Bechad Loi Shmei Eged. A bundle of one is not a bundle. Nishkin bundle. Shalosh Shmei Eged. Three is a crowd, that's a bundle. Shnayim, whose company, that's a machlekes. Is that a bundle or not a bundle? What is this? Where does the Gemara get that from? It's machlekes of Yosef in the Rabbanan, based in a Mishnah Mesechtus Pura. Disnan mitzvahs ezav shloisha kelachim. Ubehen shloisha gevoilin. The Gemara is bringing a parallel from the mitzvah Pura Aduma. If you remember when we discussed Lulav Tzarech Eged, the Pasuk says over here, it's quoted by the Gemara in Yud Aleph from Abayz. The pasuk says, by Pesach mitzvah, by the spreading the blood on the doorpost at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, ulekachtem agudas ezoy. You have to take a bundle of hyssop branches. Fine. So there it says aguda. Here, by the paraduma, for mechatos, for a person who becomes tamei meis, and he needs water sprinkled that contains within it the ashes of the paraduma. So the pasuk there does not mention agudas ezoiv. It says you just need ezoiv. However, if you look at Tosfos over here, Devei Maskel Mitzvahs writes Gabi ezoiv de para lo ksiv aguda. It's true here by paraduma. It doesn't say aguda or bundle. Ela gabi ezoiv de Pesach Mitzrayim. by leaving Mitzrayim, you had to use a bundle of hyssop branches to spread the blood on the doorpost. But, ksiv, ubisifri, yalef begzera shava, lekicha, lekicha. We have begzera shava, because it says, ulakachtem agudas ezav. Here, I forget the pasuk, but it also says, to take, ulakachtem ezav, something. Malahalan shloisha, dein aguda bapachas mishloisha. Just like at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, aguda, aguda means three. Afkan shloisha. Here too, it also means shloisha. If you remember, that was the source that lulav tzarech eged, because the pasuk says ulukachtem lochem b'yom arishon. Just like ulukachtem agudas ezayv, you need three should be bundled together. So too, the lulav has to be bundled together. Fine. So how do we know that a paraduma has to the bundle of hyssop branches? The hyssop branches are used to sprinkle the blood of the paraduma has to be a bundle because the pasuk says lekicha. By Pesach Mitzrayim, Lukachtem Agudas Ezav, Lukachtem Agudas Ezav, and the pasuk says by Paraduma Lakicha, and it's Ezav. Just like over here, it's a bundle of three. So to over here, it's a bundle of three. And we used that discussion was relevant to the discussion of whether or not you have to bind the lulav together by lulav tzarech egen. And how much is a minimum of a bundle? So we derive from Paraduma that the Mishnah there says you need three stems of hyssop branches are considered a bundle. Less than three, nishkin bundle. Taisus actually over here in Devei Maskel B'Shalosh raises a fascinating question from the Brisa, from a Mishnah Mesechtas Ovis, and the Gemara Mesechtas Brachis, that perhaps an aguda means five. Because the pasuk says, how do you know when five people are sitting and learning that Hashchina is there, because the pasuk says Vagudasa el Eretz Yisada, and the pasuk there says Ubiyad el Eretz Af Yoda Yosda Eretz Yad is five, Aguda therefore is five. So the Taisa says sometimes Aguda means five, sometimes it means three. Whatever it means in general, here by Paraduma, the Mishnah tells the Paraduma what does it mean? Three. So the Gemara says nothing to do with lulav. Put lulav away. But just like Paraduma, how many stems do you need to sprinkle the blood of the water and the ashes of the Paraduma onto a person who wants to become tar from Tamei Meis? You need three stems, and they have to be bound together in an aguda. How much, boards or twigs or pieces of straw that are bound together are no good for schach? Three. Once it's bound together, that's considered to be an aguda, and that's no good for schach. Why is it no good for schach? It grows from the ground. It's not makabel tumah because of the gzeiras ha'etzer. We're afraid you're going to take the bundle, put it up on top of your sukkah to dry, and then you're going to switch. You didn't have a mind for tzeil. Then later on, you're going to switch for tzeil, and it's tassel and also he's becoming kosher passively, not actively, and that's no good. Okay, so everybody say bundled schach is no good. How much is a bundle? Three. Where'd you get that from? Paraduma, where you have to use stems of an azif to sprinkle the waters of the paraduma. There, it's three. How do you know you need a bundle by paraduma? It's derived from Pesach Mitzrayim, that they had an agudas azif to put the blood on the doorpost. We got the derivations over here. So the Gemara there says three is a bundle. The Rambam, it's pretty clear, Agamar. The Gemara says three, debate about two, one not. So if you have one piece of schach that's bound together with a string, that's kosher for sukkah. Two, machlaikis. Three, that's a bundle, that's already no good. The Rambam says, not three. Look over here, the Rambam says, over here, halacha vav, chavilei kashra, chavilei yezim, chavilei zardin, im sachem ben gzeira shem yasa son chavilois. We're afraid you're going to put the bundles al gagoi, kedei liyab, shon v'yimolech, and switch your mind, v'yoshiv tachteim, you'll sit under there with shem sukkah, v'hu mitchilo loy osis chagzel, it's sale, you're going to put it up for shade, v'nim says, kisukah, shenasis me'eleh, it became kosher passively. But if you were a matur, then it's kosher. That's the whole Gemara from Yabez Maraf. Then the Rambam says, how much is a chavila? Ein chavila p'chusa me'esrim v'chomish baden. 25. Where do you get 25? We just said, we're deriving it from Ezov of Paraduma. There it's three. Where did the Rambam get 25? So the Rambam tells you, Am Avram, B'Yushalmi. It's a Talmud B'Yushalmi here in Masechta Sukkah, 25. V'loya dati lama kasva shariya fil eged shalosh shmei eged. The Rambam, why is he passing like a Yushalmi against the Bavli? The Bavli here says 3. Why did the Rambam pass like a Yushalmi that says 25? Truth of the matter is, the scholars, academics, collect them. Oftentimes, the Rambam passes like the Yushalmi and not like the Bavli. Typically, we assume if there's a machlokes in the Talmud Yushalmi and the Talmud Bavli, we pass like the Talmud Bavli. The Rif explains because the Talmud Bavli came after the Talmud Yushalmi and therefore probably saw the Talmud Yushalmi and decided to pass him differently. So it's like a Hilchasa Kabasroi, but the Rambam often passes like the Talmud Yushalmi, not like the Talmud Bavli. So to hear the Rambam says 25 is a bundle. And guess that's interestingly, that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch, not like Agamara. Even though the Ravid is quite upset about it, in the Shulchan Aruch we pass like the Rambam. It's only considered to be a bundle if there's 25 boards or 25 bamboo or whatever. The Gazra Kol Chavil, why? Why is it different than Paraduma? The whole source is from Paraduma. There it's 3 twigs, a Mishnah, Mesechtas Para. How can we say over here 25? So Shulchan Aruch says, I'll tell you why. Quotes in the name of the Rosh. Because here, this is not only a bundle. This is because we are afraid you're going to put it up there to dry. And then you're going to switch to use it for sale for Skach. Who in their right mind would put a bundle of 3 boards on his roof to dry? If it's 25, you do that. You know, 32, or 3, or 4, or 5, no one puts such a thing up there to dry. That's not the type of bundles we're doing. I mean, if you imagine, if you were writing a picture book on yourself, you'd probably like this big bundle of hay. You know, that's what we picture. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, "Gazu al kol chavila atu zois v'kemen shemit bnei zeh asura." Since that's the reason, lo hutzuchu lasar al bechavila shederuch yabsha. Therefore, they only asked a chavila, which is the way it is to dry. Ve'ein zeh beparchas mechafei kadam, and that's not less than 25 branches. Less than 25 branches, nobody would dry. Hilchach kol chavila shipchusa mechafei kadam mutar l'sachik. Therefore, as long as it's less than 25. That are bound together in a bundle, that's all kosher for schach. No problem. We pass, even though the Gemara seems to say we pass in 3 is a bundle, the Rambam quotes from the Yushalmi 25, and that makes more sense based on the whole source for this Easter of using bundles. We're afraid you're going to put up to dry and then use for schach. So it's only if it's something that people would dry, which is 25. Okay, all of this brings us back to where we began. Look, 4 or 5 lines from the top over here, you give them an aleph. Amar of Gido, Amar Rav. Hi, Afkusa de Dikla Mesachim Bahu. An Afkusa de Dikla is a branch from a palm tree that has many, it's one large branch that has many twigs sticking out of it. So many stems sticking out of it. So, Hi, Afkusa de Dikla Mesachim Bahu. Abba Gavda Gidi. Even though that's really like many different stems that are attached together. That should have been a bundle. And again, the Bavli says even 3 is a bundle. Nonetheless, Eged Bidei Shamayim, Lo Yishmei Eged. You didn't bind this together in a bundle. It grows like this. That's not a bundle. Hadar Eged Lahu. And even though you went and later tied a string around it so that you shouldn't have all these pokey, you know, you don't want to get poked or anything. Ege Bakav, Lo Yishmei Eged. Nonetheless, even if you did tie it together, tying one stem together is not a bundle. Bundle is more, it's 3. Similarly, Amar of Chizdam, Ravina, Barshila, Hani, Dukri, Dekani, Mesachim, Behu, Afagav Dagidi, Ninhu, Eged B'dei Shamayim, Lo Yishmei Eged, Afagav Dehoder, Agelahu, Eged B'chad, Lo Yishmei Eged. Same deal. One big branch, 3 many stems sticking out, even though they're all bound together, that's not considered to be a bundle. Why not? Eged bidei shamayim is not considered to be a negative. If it's naturally bound together, the 3 twigs just grow together, that's not a bundle. And therefore the schach would be kosher, even if you later bound it together. It's still only one branch, we're binding one branch together, it's not a problem. So Rabbi said, what do we see from here? If something grows bound together, is that an eged or not a good eged? Is that an eged? No, it's not an eged. And you could use such branches for schach. If it would be an eged, it would be a bundle, and we'd be afraid that people put it up there to dry, and then later on use it for schach. The whole story, Tassavam and Asui, says it's not considered to be a bundle. Eged bidei shamayim lav shmei eged. This has nothing to do with lulav at all. This has to do with using bundles for schach. If it's bundled, bidei shamayim, it grows that way, that's not considered to be a bundle. The problem is, all of the Rishayim ask, if this is the case, what would we have said should be the halacha by Paraduma? Can I use a branch that happens to grow with 3 stems to sprinkle the water of the paraduma. We said by paraduma you need an eged. You need a bundle. We derive from Pesach Mitzrayim that they had a bundle, agudas ezov, to put the blood on the doorpost. You need a bundle. So if the Gemara says here, eged b'dei shamayim is not considered an eged and it's kosher for schach because it grows that way, we would have said that that's therefore not a bundle either for paraduma. The problem is, the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Para, over here, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Tes, Ezov sheyesh bo shloisha kalachim, if you have a hyssop branch that has three stems, mefazgoi ve'yogdoi, you cut it open and bind it together in a bundle. Loi pizgoi ve'loi ogdoi kosher, but if you didn't do this, it's kosher. Why? Because it's still a bundle. No, it's weiter a bundle. Aye, it grows that way. Okay. Still a bundle. Yeah. What do you want to say?
Sort of back up to what the Shulchan Aruch was saying.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he, like, it seems, the Gemara seems to indicate, based on after the raise up the whole discussion with the 3-2-1, that it's talking about 3-2-1. In terms of bundle size.
Yeah.
And that's all in relation to the Xera, so I don't know where the number.
Yushalmi says 25.
Okay. Also, how do you use the mats?
How can you what?
How do you use the
mats? We're going to answer that a long time. We'll get to that. We don't know enough yet to deal with the sukkah mats. Sukkah mats involve many different shilas all together in one. We're going to have to deal with when we get there. We're going to have to deal with all that. You have string going through it. Sometimes the string doesn't grow from the ground. We're going to have to get this. Is that a bundle? Is it not a bundle?
Well, the string is not a problem because it's not the
Jordan. There's many, many issues, but it's holding the whole thing together. Perhaps the whole thing can't stay without the string.
So what?
We're going to have to get to that. We didn't get to that yet. That's the main shaga with the schach mats. It's psu-minded. We're going to get there. We haven't talked about boards either. We have to get to talk about boards, then we can talk about the mats. We don't know enough yet to deal with the mats, but okay. Keep it in mind. Yes, you're on the right track.
Wouldn't the twigs that are bundled,
certainly with the 25,
already be by itself an issue?
Why?
Because
it's a bundle.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're tied together.
Isn't
that what a bundle is?
I don't think they're all tied together.
They're
one.
All tied into one group.
They're all tied into one group. But one is tied to the next one, is tied to the next one, is tied to the next one, is tied to the next one. The last one is not tied to the first one. If you would roll it up and then tie it all together, it'd probably be a bundle.
Yeah, but you'd have the same issue. Let's say you have a wet sukkah that you throw it on top. It's yeah. The same.
Okay, so another shot we're going to have to deal when we get to mats. I promise you, I have no every intention of dealing with the mats. I won't cheat you. We're going to deal with the mats at length. If I cut that out, you'll let me know. You'll hold me accountable. But 1 minute, let's get back to this. What if it's bound naturally? Our Gemara said that's not a problem for schach. One branch with three stems, that's not a bundle for schach. That's kosher. Problem is the Mishnah says in Masechtas Para, but pozgav le'yogdo kosher. If it grows that way, yes, you should separate them and then bind it together artificially. Afterwards, subsequently. But if you didn't, it's kosher. Sounds like an eged b'dei shamayim is an eged. So that's a question that the Ran and the Baal HaMor all deal with over here in Aradaf. And the Ran writes like this, compelling argument. He says, that's different. When you need an eged, a real eged, so that's not an eged b'dei shemayim, it's not an eged. What's the reason over here that you need an eged, meaning that it's is because Midr Abana, they said, if you're going to let you use bundles, so then you might come to use bundles that are put up there to dry and then switch your mind and decide to use it for schach. So there, it doesn't make sense to extend the gzeira to an eged b'dei shamayim. Even though an eged b'dei shamayim really is an eged, it's good for paraduma, and if you would have the hyssop branches bound together because they naturally grow like that, that's an eged. It's still a bundle. However, when it comes to this problem of putting stuff up there to dry, you usually only do that with something that's not naturally bound together. If it grows that way, that's considered to be a bundle. About chavilei kashim and chavilei eitzim chumra midrabreyem hu. It's only dimid rabbanon shech miru behem mishum gzeiras oitzer, because we're afraid when you put it up there to dry and switch your mind. Hilkach lekel amigzel kamin oitzer only makes sense to be geizer against something that you would put up for storage. Davi Ege, Bidei Adam, which people bind together artificially. And also, Kevin Shainu El Midivrayim, Hakal Loima, the Ege Bidei Shamayim, Moish May Ege. We didn't extend the Chumrah of Ege Bidei Shamayim, being an Ege, to this Psul de Rabbanon, being Masachich with bundles. That far they didn't go. And because there's a good reason not to. Because the whole reason over here is going to put up there to dry. Nobody puts up a thing that's artificially, that's naturally bound together there to dry. It might be considered an egg for paraduma, but not for the gzera of the gzera's ha'itza. Okay, so fine. So therefore, there's a disparity, even though the whole source for what's considered a bundle for the gzera's ha'itza, they can't be masachic with bundles, is from paraduma. We saw that we don't really have much of the same standards as paraduma. Even though our Gemara says 3, the Rambam said 25. Because that's what people put up there to dry. Even though by paraduma, egge b'dei shamayim is an egge, that's also a bundle. Over here, by schach, not necessarily a bundle. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss something that has absolutely nothing to do with sukkah, ostensibly, but fascinating nonetheless. The Gemara says over here, another statement in the name of Ravina Bar Shila. Once we mentioned one statement of Ravina Bar Shila, they can be masachic with the branches that are naturally attached together. Egi b'dei shemayim is not considered an egi. The Gemara goes on to quote another statement from Ravina Bar Shila having to do with an ezod of paraduma. Amar Ravina Bar Shila, hani mararisa da agma. You have bitter vegetables that grow in a swamp. Adam yotzi behen yedei chavasa bepesach. You can use it as marar. A bitter vegetable that grows in a swamp, in an agam, you can use it for as marar. Meisvei, the Gemara Frekta Kasha. But why? If it's known as Mararisa da Agma, it's known as the vegetables of the swamp, it should be no good. Because, the Brisa tells us, Ezov, Veloy Ezov Yavam. When you use a hyssop for... That's a Mishnah. When you use a hyssop for Paraduma, it has to be just known as the hyssop. Not the Greek hyssop, velo ezav kuchli, or the kuchli hyssop, velo ezav midbari, or the desert hyssop, velo ezav romi, or the Roman hyssop, velo ezav shiesh lo shem levai. Any hyssop that has a qualifying name to it, the qualifier, is no good. A nickname or something, that's no good. It has to be the plain, old, regular, generic hyssop. Not the Roman hyssop, or the Greek hyssop, or the desert hyssop. So how can you use then swamp maror? Swamp maror is not maror. Maror is maror. Not swamp maror. Just like you can't use the Greek hyssop, the Roman hyssop. How can you use the swamp maror? So Amar Abaye, there's a difference. Kol shenishtana shmoi kodem matan Torah. Anything that the name already had, you know, this classification existed prior to Kabbalah Satorah. Ubasa Torah Pidale, the Torah said, hyssop. So since these qualifications, Roman hyssop, Greek hyssop, desert hyssop, existed before the Torah was given, the Torah nonetheless specified, stipulated, hyssop, that means to exclude the rest of them. No other type of ezod, just this. So by the hyssop, all of these classifications existed prior to Kabbalah. So the Torah came and said, hyssop means not the desert hyssop, or the Roman hyssop, or the Greek hyssop. However, by maror, there was no such classification prior to Kabbalah Satorah of swamp maror. How did he know that? I don't know. But that didn't exist prior to Kabbalah Satorah. So when the Torah said maror, it didn't mean to exclude swamp maror. That classification didn't exist prior to Kabbalah Satorah. You'll ask, how could it be that the Roman hyssop existed prior to Kabbalah Satorah? How could it be that the Greek hyssop existed prior to Kabbalah Satorah? The Greek cult, the Greek system, you know. Those societies didn't exist. Civilizations only existed afterwards. So what it must mean, the Tiferes Yisrael asked that at the Mishnah Maseches Parah. There's a Mishnah Maseches Parah, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zion. So in that Mishnah, the Tiferes Yisrael asked, how could these classifications exist prior to Kabbalah Satorah? So he says, no, what it means is, of course these classifications existed. They were later replaced by, they were known by different things. But they, the distinctions existed. It just later on became known as the Greek hyssop. It was probably known as, you know, the Mesopotamian, you know, Mesopotamian hyssop until then, or as whatever lands existed before then. But later on, when the Greek civilization emerged, it became known as the Greek hyssop. But it must mean that these hyssops existed, the distinctions, the classifications existed prior to the Mosul Torah. When the Torah was given, a specified hyssop, it must mean the generic hyssop. But Maror, the Maror of the swamp, that classification never existed prior to Kabbalah Sotar. Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar Hani Marisa Stama Shamayu. It's because this Maror is not a difference in flavor. That's not why it's called the Maror of the Agam. See, the reason why a hyssop is called different classifications, the Greek hyssop and the Roman hyssop and the desert hyssop, is because they're really different from each other. It's not just that they come from different places. They're like very different. But here, the Maror of the Agam is not so different than real Maror. So it's really the same as Maror. That's why it's kosher for Maror. That's why it's kosher. Behind the Karlu Marisa the Agma, Mishum the Mishtakach. Ba'agma. It just happens to be that it's found in a swamp. But it's not that it had to have its own classification because it's so different. It really could be very similar. But it happens to be found in Agam, so we call it Marisa the Agma. But it's really similar, and therefore it can be used for Mara. As opposed to the hyssops, really different from each other. And therefore, if it has a qualifier, and it was given before the Torah, therefore it's not a hyssop that's good for Paraduma. Nothing to do with the before Torah, after Torah. It's just different. That's why it has a qualifier. So Rava distinguishes between things that are really different from each other, or they're just the same, or pretty much the same, they just happen to be found in different places. It happens to be found in different places. That's kosher from Mara. Would be kosher as a hyssop. If it's given a different name because it's really different, then it's no good. Would be no good for Mara and no good for a hyssop. That's what the Gemara says. What's fascinating about the Gemara is simply the comparison that the Gemara makes. The Gemara says, just like a hyssop that has a qualifier is no good as an ezor for paraduma, so too the Gemara the Havamina. Or the Gemara concludes, it might not be true by Marisa Dagma, it would be true in other scenarios, that if it has a qualifier for Maror, that's no good. Unless it's known as Maror, it's no good. So Rekiva Eger asks, he didn't think there was a vegetable called Maror. Look over here, Rekiva Eger asks, and Kedusha Rekiva Eger, Tema, me the shame, etzim ksiv b'kra? Does the Pasuk discuss a vegetable? See, it's different. By Paraduma, the Torah says, take an azoiv, a hyssop branch, and use it to sprinkle the borders of the Paraduma. What did the Torah say by the carbon Pesach and Parashas Boy? Is Maror a vegetable? Is there a vegetable known, like a specific pronoun known as Maror? Is that like a type of bush or a type of vegetable? Rabbi Kiva Eger assumes no. Tehem Amidi, Shem Etzim, is there a vegetable called Maror? No! Tamcha we usually translate as horseradish. Many argue it can't be a horseradish. Horseradish did not exist in the times of the Gemara in that part of the world. Can't be a horseradish. But our Masaira is that it's horseradish. We'll go with horseradish for now. And chazeres, the Gemara says, is asa, is lettuce. It's assumed to be romaine lettuce. Horseradish is traditionally, that's what's assumed. Many argue it's not, but that's what we generally assume. So tamcha and chazeres, two of the popular items for maror, yoitzin kevin de merira. That's not known as maror. What does maror mean? It's an adjective. It means bitter herbs or bitter vegetables. It's not a pronoun. So how can you, yes, if something is a pronoun, azarv, a name of a bush, hyssop branch. So if anything else is not known as that, that's not the pronoun that the Torah is discussing. But if Maror is a description, how can you say if it has a qualifier, that's not known as Maror? Maror is not a name. Maror is a description. So anything that's bitter, says the B'kiv Eger, should be good for Maror. V'lamini garmei hemeri rusa da'agma. Why should the fact that it's found in a swamp be any worse? Maror is not a description of vegetable anyway. In fact, that's how Rashi seems to say on Chumash. Rabbi said the Gemara Mishnah tells him here, Psachim Lamates Medalev. How many people here use horseradish? Don't be afraid. Romaine lettuce? Romaine? Romaine. half and half almost. So here the Mishnah says Maseches Pesachim, Eli Yerukas Shadam Yaitz Ben Yedei Chayvasa BePesach. These are the five you can use for Maror. Chazeres, generally assumed to be romaine lettuce. Tamcha, generally assumed to be horseradish. Charchavina ve'ul shenu v'maror. One of them is endives. I don't know what the other one is. Yaitz behen bein lach and bein yevashim, whether it's fresh or whether it's been dried. Avaloi kavushim v'loi shalukim v'loi mevushalin. If it's cooked, that's no good. Klalo shel davar kol sheyesh bo tam mara yaitzim bo kol sheein bo tam mara ein yaitzim bo. Anything that has the flavor of mara you can use. Anything that doesn't have the flavor of mara you can't use. That just means you can use it if it's not cooked. If it's dried, it still retains its flavor. If it's cooked, it no longer retains its flavor, and therefore you can't use it. So Rashi writes in the Pasuk in Parashas Bo'i, Kol Esev Mar Nikre Moror. Moror is not a pronoun. Moror is an adjective that's describing the flavor of the vegetables. So then presumably the list is not exhaustive. You can use other ones. So then Rebbe Kivega has a kasha. Has a kasha in our Gemara. How could the Gemara say if it has a qualifying name to it, Marisa da Agma, it's no good, just like an Ezov Hayavan, the Greek Ezov is no good, the two are not the same. Hyssop is a hyssop tree, it's something that's a pronoun. So if it has a qualifier attached to it, that's not what the Torah is talking about. But Mara is not a name of a vegetable, it's something that's bitter. Rashi says, Kol Esav Mar Nikra Mara. So how can our Gemara say just because it's known as Marisa da Agma, it's not Mara? So the Sfasemes says what you have to say for Rashi and for Reb Kiva Eger. What you'll have to say is that the fact that it was known as Marisa da Agma demonstrates it's not Moror. It's not bitter. Moror, it refers to the general classification of all bitter for foods. And if this is not known simply as Moror, it's known as Moror with a qualifier, how bitter can it really be? Maybe it's not that bitter. That's why it's known as Marisa da Agma. This is mild, or it's not bitter at all. That's why it's known as Marisa da Agma. That's why the Gemara says it's comparable to the hyssop. Morar means a general classification of all vegetables that are bitter. But if it's known as Marisa da Agma, it must be vastly different than real morar, and it's no good for morar. And then the Gemara concludes, no, it's really the same, it's just found in a different place. But that's why the Gemara compared the two. Even though they seem very different from one another, that's why the Gemara compared the two. Just like hyssop means the hyssop, anything else is not the hyssop, so to here we mean all bitter vegetables, but if it's not as Marisa da Agma, it's not that bitter. That's how the Sfasemes explains. However, the Rashash and the Magen Avraham learn out from our Gemara that no, maror is specific vegetables. That's why the Gemara is comparing maror to ezov. Ezov is a specific bush, so too mora are specific vegetables. Might be more than one, but it's a specific, it's a pronoun. They're specific vegetables known as mora. That's how the Gemara can compare azor, which is a pronoun, to mora, which is a pronoun. It's not a category of items which possess a certain quality of bitterness. It refers to certain items. That's what the Magen Avraham writes. Kasav ha'shulta ha'gibarim b'gemara muchach. You need these five are known as Moror. Anything else? No. Ugofiza Bashar Yerek Mar Yoichabaloi Brocha Vidivre Harav Tzarchiyan. He said to eat it without the bracha, and that's why he says some who said you could eat any vegetable that's bitter, Tzarech Iyun. Then he quotes from Rashi, you could use any bitter vegetable, and he disagrees. And he proves Samar Gemara. Look over here in the third line. The gamba suka daf yigimo isa dafiu marisa da agma in yoitzim they shiyesh lo shem levai. It's simply not known as morar. The tzarch shiyesh shmoi morar beloi shem levai. He even stoops it into Rashi. Rashi seems to disagree. He holds all bitter vegetables. That's how Rabbi Kiva Eger understood. It's not a pronoun. The Magen Avraham says it's a pronoun. It's dafka these five. What then does the Gemara mean? Kol she'ein bo tam mora in yotzen bo means if it doesn't taste like these five. Not that it tastes bitter. It doesn't have to taste bitter. These five vegetables are known as moror. See, what happened is, according to Rashi, according to B'Kivei Eger, what is maror? Is maror a specific vegetable? No. It's a category of vegetables that have a bitter taste. The Mishnah gave you five examples. And by the way, you're supposed to use the first in the list first. Chazeres, then tamcha, romaine lettuce, then the horseradish. But it's just a list of bitter vegetables. It's not exhaustive. Anything that's bitter would qualify as maror. According to the Magen Avraham, it's not true. It's these five are pronoun known as maror. And therefore, it's not that it's describing it that it tastes bitter. These are known as maror. The Mishnah is telling us these were known as maror. So the difference will be, with regards to a question that the Paiskim may ask, the Mishnah Berurah says in his place, in the place where he was, and that was the case in Europe, oftentimes they didn't have a chazeres. They simply didn't have the romaine lettuce or endives or these kinds of things. All they had was the horseradish. That's why some claim horseradish made it into the list. Some argue that it didn't exist in the time of the Mishnah. It could be, but our Messiah is to use horse. Others were opposed to it, back and forth. But we assume the Mishnah Berurah says Amasaira is horseradish is Mara, and that's all that they had. They didn't have leafy vegetables. But the problem with the romaine lettuce is that anybody who uses romaine lettuce knows it's not that bitter. Everyone every year at the Seder, how can you use that? It's not that bitter. The old guard who likes to eat the pound of horseradish. And in fact, by the horseradish, some are makbid, and Mishnah Berurah calls the name of the gra, to grind it right before the Seder. So be as bitter as possible. Some ground it earlier. Some held. You grind it right before the Seder, you'll get sick. In fact, there are Hatzalah calls every night, Pesach, first night of Seder. People get sick, either from eating too much matzah or too much horseradish. I've seen it. Be'enai re'isi. I got sick from eating horseradish. It can happen. Not me. It can happen. So Lamaisa, others argue you should grind it earlier. Some are very concerned that it be bitter. But 1 minute, the romaine lettuce is not bitter. So the Gemara already says, it's true it's not bitter. When it first grows. If you leave it in the ground for longer, it will become bitter. And the Gemara says that reflects our Sheba to Mitzrayim. It started off being not that bitter. It seemed sweet. They were so nice to us. And then look what happened. Then it became bitter. Just like the romaine lettuce. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Shuzecha l'shiba Mitzrayim shayit chilasa rachul b'sayif kosha. The beginning, it was soft, it was sweet, then it became bitter. But can you use the romaine lettuce when it's not bitter, when it's still sweet? So Magen Avraham says, yes. You know why? It doesn't have to be bitter. It's the name of a vegetable. It's not that you have to eat something that's bitter, and anything bitter qualifies. It's the name of a specific vegetable. Once you eat that vegetable, you're yoytzei. Even if it's not bitter. So don't let anybody tell you and intimidate you that there's a problem with the romaine lettuce because it's not bitter. And you should use romaine lettuce. The first on the list is what you should use. The Mishnah Berurah, all the Paiskim say, l'chachilo, better to use the romaine lettuce. Or what's first on the list. Want to use horseradish too. The Mishnah Berurah is hesitant about the romaine lettuce because there's bugs, he says. There's bugs in the romaine lettuce. So that's what people traditionally shied away from it. Either they didn't have it or there was bugs. Now times, some of these problems have been solved. But others disagreed, Chazanish, others. Romaine lettuce is not bitter. When the Gemara said you can use romaine lettuce is when you leave it in the ground so long that it becomes bitter, then you can use it. Because it has to be bitter. That was Rashi, that's Rabbi Akiva Eger. This is a group of bitter vegetables. Not that it's the name of the vegetable is maror, is bitter, and you can eat whatever form you want. You have to eat something that has the flavor of bitter. So therefore they argued horseradish is preferable. Horseradish tastes bitter. Romaine lettuce, if you would leave it in the ground longer, would taste bitter. But if you take it out early, it's not bitter. You can't use it. So better to use horseradish. You have to eat a kezias of horseradish, by the way. You can't eat a ceremonial sprinkle of like Parmesan cheese on top. You can't do that. You have to... have to take a whole thing of kezias, chazanishir, kezias of horseradish. Fine, but they felt horseradish is better. Others argued horseradish isn't bitter either. You're going to start in the bitter contest. Horseradish isn't either bitter either. It's sharp. That's what many argued. Horseradish can't be tamcha. How can it's not bitter at all. It's sharp. not bitter. Okay, so we get involved. That's the whole debate for the Halachah Seder. Okay, so the some favor, the horseradish mara means a group of vegetables that are bitter, and this marisa, the agma, therefore must not have been bitter. That's why it was known by a qualifying name. Or perhaps mara refers to a specific vegetable. It's a pronoun, which is what it sounds like from our Gemara. In which case, you could use even the romaine lettuce, even though it doesn't taste bitter, because it just refers to a list of vegetables, not that they actually taste bitter. Okay, sure.